Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Gender Numismatics here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, I mean, we were just discussing whose theory this was. I don't remember, frankly. I thought it was my theory. Maybe it was yours.
It could have been. I mean,
we're joined at the brain anyway. Here's the theory. We were pondering a few weeks ago why men never pay for anything with the change. I mean, they could have $10 worth of change in their pockets, and they would still pull out a dollar bill to pay for a candy bar.
Absolutely.
Women, on the other hand, they say, wait a minute, I think I have that $14,000, $672.59 in change to pay for that car. And they go looking through their pocketbooks, and they come up with exactly the right change.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, we wanted to know, is this true?
Number one.
That's number one. Is it true?
Right.
And if it's true...
B.
Why is it true? And we received quite a bit of mail. Women, this is... You can tell who wrote the letter by whether it's a woman or a man.
Usually by who signs it. Like, but if it's signed like Beth,
you can tell,
something like that, it's probably written by a gal, yeah.
You can tell by the tone of the letter.
And that one that says Frank there, I think that's... Go ahead.
This one's from Emily Johnston from... says, Jura, France. Women's pockets are heavy. What with all those things in there, like mace, etc., so is change heavy. Women spend the coins to lighten the load. Men, being big and strong and macho, parentheses, and stupid, carry the damn stuff around. Or maybe they can't count. Who knows? That's one. Here's another one.
I happen to like the sound of coins jingling in my pocket, I realize. I mean...
Well, that's right. Now, a lot of people talked about the jingling of the coins.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I mean, you need something to jingle.
Another woman, Carla Tracy from Davenport, Iowa. Why do women use change to pay for purchases? Let me count the reasons.
Yes.
A, women wish to be helpful. Don't cashiers and salespeople always need change? Two, she's got it, right? Two.
Yes, you got it.
Most women are better able to handle details than are most men. Oh, yeah. We're getting nasty.
I think here. Most men have trouble counting. When they say it's 63 cents, oh, geez, give her a 20.
Give her a 20. As a result, when they're paying their bill, they can quickly recall that 10 dimes or 4 quarters equals a dollar. For men, this would require an unreasonable amount of time.
Yeah, I think she's hit it on the nose.
See, as observed, men carry change in their pockets, which they usually empty onto their bureau. In the Midwest, we say dresser, top, before they retire each evening. I do this. A man may continue to do this until the top of the bureau caves in. This is true. But this rarely happens because his children take the change or his wife uses it to pay the paper girl or the paper boy. As a result, men may choose to start fresh every day. Women, however, carry pocketbooks, parentheses, in the Midwest we say purses, and will continue to accumulate more change every day unless they use it. These few foolhardy women must visit their chiropractor on a regular basis. Da, 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 da. I hope that this has been helpful.
Indeed it has. So, actually, if all the guys took all their spare change and put it in a container, right? And then once a year they sent that container to their NPR station, wouldn't that be something, huh?
Isn't that, actually, somebody
wrote... My kids get to it before anyway.
Somebody wrote and said if you just took all the change that's on all the bureaus in America, they would not have to mint coins for 25 years.
Well, we could erase the national debt.
Just send in your loose change. It's all in the sofas. Everyone knows that.
You want to talk about cars? Or you want to read 400 or 500 more letters?
No, I'm ready to do anything you want.
If you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry Greenhall, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, Barry.
Lincoln.
Lincoln's in the western part of the state, right?
No, it's in the eastern part.
Eastern. What's in the west? What big city's in the western part?
There are
Colorado.
No other big cities.
Colorado.
Right next to Colorado. What's the city that's next nearest to Colorado?
Oh, of any size, probably Scotts Bluff.
Any size that we may have heard of.
Oh, yeah, Scotts Bluff. I remember that.
Scotts Bluff. Okay, well, you've been no fun. Anyway. anyway, what's on your mind today?
Okay. I've got a 92 Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm.
And, about 2 years ago, the first time we drove it down to Arkansas, which we do several times a year, in the Ozarks.
What, you go? Do you go from Lincoln, Nebraska down to Arkansas for fun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's where my mother-in-law lives.
That's where the fam...
Ah! Okay.
Hey,
I won't pry into... I won't go there, as they say.
I love her dearly. I love her dearly.
Of course. We all love them. All right.
But anyhow, when we get in these windy roads with a lot of braking, a lot of shifting back and forth, the car, when we finally smooth out, start to build up some speed, develops a vibration. And... Mm. Quite by accident, we found out that the only way that we can get it to stop vibrating is pull over the side of the road and stop the motion of the car. Don't have to, you don't have to turn the engine off. Just stop the forward motion and then start driving, and it's fine. And this has been going on for like 2 years, and I've been dealing with several Ford places that have looked at it, and they can't duplicate the problem, therefore can't do anything. I have a great mechanic here in Lincoln who swears up and down it's the torque converter.
There you go. That's my choice, too, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you've taken this, obviously, to Lincoln dealerships and technicians with all kinds of factory training.
Yeah.
Did you take it to Lincoln, Lincoln?
Is there a place called Lincoln, Lincoln? It's got to be. I mean, how can you pass it up?
Well, I mean, and they haven't figured it out.
No.
And you had the audacity
to call us
thinking that we would figure it out?
Yeah. I had to call somebody I can count on.
Have you ever, when you do pull over,
mm-hmm.
you say you pull over, you don't have to shut the engine off, and then you start up and it immediately is fixed?
Yes.
And the
And how long does it stay fixed? I'm sorry.
It may stay fixed for weeks or months,
uh-huh.
or it may happen again almost immediately.
Uh-huh.
Ah, okay.
And when you come to the stop, the vibration is not there. So it's not vibration from the engine. It's vibration from motion.
I would say probably yes.
Has it ever stalled when you've pulled off to rest?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
That is too bad because I was going to go along with your torque converter theory, but I don't think I like it anymore.
I still like it to some extent. I mean, this car has a thing called a lock-up torque converter, which it speeds above like 35 miles an hour, locks the two parts of the converter together so that it turns as one to reduce losses inherent in the fluid coupling of a torque converter.
So that you can get better gas mileage.
And then if the thing isn't staying locked or is half locked and half unlocked, you can get this chattering which takes place, which can set up a vibration. And it can go and come, and stopping the car might do enough to free it up. And then when you re-engage the transmission, it's okay after that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it isn't okay. And I would think if they were sporting fellas at Lincoln, they might want to throw in a new lock-up converter for you.
Well, I'd like to find someone that would. One other clue that my mechanic...
We don't need any other clues.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. We want more.
But when I drive it like a little old lady from Pasadena and going kind of slow, the thing seems to hang up in overdrive. Say if you've been up to 50 mile an hour and you come down to 30 or so, it's still in overdrive. And then when you start to go pick up speed again, you get...
You have no power?
Ping, little power, you goose it, and then it'll drop down into gear and go and be fine.
You may need a whole transmission.
That's it. That last hint was it.
Okay.
That cinches it. I mean, did you tell this to the dealer?
Absolutely. And they say they can't duplicate the problem, therefore they're not going to do anything.
Well, aren't they
going
to trust you?
No.
What do you mean? Why do they have to duplicate the problem?
Yeah, I don't know.
You'll have to take them to visit your mother-in-law in Arkansas.
I've invited them. Trust me.
And if the ride doesn't do it, just visiting your mother-in-law might.
Oh, I mean, that's the clincher. I mean, if it's doing that, that's an indication that the lock-up torque converter is locking up and staying locked up.
Oh, great.
So tell them to fix it now and make you a happy customer, because they'll have to fix it eventually.
Great. Well, I'll do it then.
Good luck, Barry.
Good luck,
Thanks
Barry.
A lot, guys.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patty. I'm from Somerville.
Patty, so you must spell Patty with a Y at the end.
With an I.
Patty, you must be from California.
No, different. I'm even named Patty Davis.
Somerville, what, Mass?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, so you're
Do you know that Somerville is the third most densely populated city on the planet?
I believe it.
I don't.
If you tried to find a parking space, you'd believe it. Right, Patty?
What part of that fair city do you live in? Up in Winter Hill?
No. Davis Square.
Davis Square. What a great place, huh?
I love it.
It is a great place.
So okay. What's up, Patty?
Well, my mother's coming up here from Houston with her 1978 Datsun.
Oh, you'll have to clean and make the bed, huh?
Exactly.
Right. No, the first thing your mother always says is, didn't you make the bed?
No,
why are they so concerned about
comes.
That? Wait, what is your mother doing down in Houston?
Well, she's closing up her house because she actually lives in Norway, so she's getting rid of the house.
Sonia Henny's tuto.
And she loves your show. She listens to you in Norway.
But are
Norway
you from,
what?
Are you from Texas also?
No. Well, I grew up there, but I'm not from there. We're from D.C.
Okay. All right. That's why
you guys in the witness protection program or something? You move around an awful lot.
Okay. So your mother's from Norway. She's hiding out in Houston. You live in Somerville.
Wait, she's from real Norway?
Well, she's not from there, but she's lived there for a couple of years.
No, Norway, like Norga, I mean
like
the country.
Oslo, yeah. She listens to you on the NATO base NPR, radio station over there.
No really? Kidding.
And she loves you.
Radio Free Europe.
Exactly. Something like that.
It's a free radio Europe.
All right, so we got the picture now. Your mother shows up with a 78 Datsun. How's the 78 Datsun getting here? She's having it flown in?
No, she's driving it up.
She's nuts.
No, she drives it all over the place. She drives it everywhere.
She doesn't drive it to Norway.
No.
Not yet.
So exactly. Has she ever driven it here from Texas before?
She drove it up to drop me off at college 11 years ago. She drives it everywhere.
Yeah, well, 11 years ago was 11 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's your question. Should she do it or what?
That's not even my question. She's leaving it with me. She thinks I need a car. She's been trying to make me take this car for like 5 years.
I get it now.
And she says she's leaving it here, and I can, throw it off a cliff or whatever I want, but she's leaving it here.
This is a Datsun 510?
Station wagon.
510 wagon.
Yep, 78.
Yeah. Well, I predict she doesn't make it. I'm serious. I mean, the chances of her making it from Houston in a 78 510 are really quite slim.
We need, Patty, my brother and I need a side bet. I bet you not only will she make it, she will make it without a hitch.
I think so. She's driven this car everywhere. She, gets in her car and drives 9 hours all the time.
How many miles
on this
car?
This is an opportunity to get my brother off my back for the rest of my life.
This car's
wait a minute.
Have
now,
a
wait a minute. I win the bet, if I win this bet,
okay.
What's the bet?
The bet is that Patty's, what's your mother's name, Patty?
Jackie.
Jackie gets in her car in Houston, and she drives, stopping only to eat, sleep, and take a haircut.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And she makes it to Somerville, Massachusetts, Davis Square.
Without a breakdown.
Without a breakdown.
Absolutely.
Then you will never, ever mention the sleek black beauty again. The sleek black beauty, for those of you that don't know, is this junk box that my brother thought was a car, left at the garage for months or years. I don't remember how long it was there. Animals were living in it. It was disgusting.
He's lying.
It was absolutely disgusting. Plants were growing out of it. Fungus, mushrooms were growing in the backseat. And I took pity on the poor thing.
You were eating those mushrooms every week, though.
And I sent it to the crusher.
Uh-oh.
2 months later, he shows up with a set of keys in his hand, and he says, "Where's my car?" And forevermore, I have heard how I junked his wonderful car. Every week, he calls me up. He says, "I miss my car. Where's my car? Are you going to get me a car to replace my car?" So if I win this bet, I never want to hear sleek black beauty again as long as I live. Or even anything to do with the year 1965 or the word ambassador.
All right. What happens if she doesn't make it?
Well, I'm sure
you buy
will.
Me a 65 sleek black beauty? Not you, Patty, but this bum next to me.
All right, I promise, I will buy you if she does. Patty.
Yes.
I'm gonna give you my home number. If she doesn't make it. How much is? Wait a minute. This might be rash.
Well, I mean, I have to have something. Don't forget, it does my psyche a lot of good to have to mention this week after week.
All right. If she doesn't make it, I will buy you a sleek Black Beauty in the same condition.
In the same condition
that yours was in.
I want the top to have the holes in it.
The holes in it with the dog used to stick her head through. The same condition that yours was in the day it went to its eternal reward.
You're on, Piston Puss.
So I'm supposed to call you guys
Patty,
back and let you know.
Wait, when is your mother scheduled to arrive?
Later this month.
Okay,
all
so
right.
When she makes it,
mm-hmm.
you'll have to have a photograph to prove. No, yeah. Patty, we trust you.
I can swing right by her house. I go by there every
Patty,
day.
Patty, your word is good enough for us.
Okay.
If you say she made it, she made it. If she didn't make it, I'll never talk to you again.
And I'll give you a ride in the sleek Black Beauty.
But what should I keep this thing? She's giving it to me.
Well,
if she makes
it,
if she makes it, you mm-hmm. should keep it because it'll be in the cards that this is a great car.
See, I'm nervous because I've never owned a car before, and I'm afraid this will just be way too much trouble. Or will this car run for me for another 5 years?
Well,
Patty.
If she makes it, I will personally come to the house and look the car over.
You will?
Yes. I will.
Are you serious?
And more than that,
I'm serious.
I'll hold you to this.
If she makes it and I get my brother off my back, I'll buy the car from you for $5,000.
Seriously, we want to know. Call us back when she gets here.
Good, I will.
Good luck.
Thanks a million,
Mom.
Patty.
Thank you.
Steve, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
I'm getting the car. I'm getting a new car.
You are not getting a new car.
I'm getting a
new life. Hey, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
What, you tired already?
No, I have to go figure out the answer to the puzzler. We'll be back in just a minute.
If I get enough momentum flying down this here hill, there might be a driving chance that I could get back up it still. Tranny don't like the mountains, blue smoke trails, wheeze and cough. Maybe if I turn the music up louder, I won't notice the muffler fell off. Broke another fuel line, wrapped it up in twine, rainbow stains of dirty oil. Blew another gasket, better relax it, even the coolant is starting to boil. Mama, my car broke down again. Mama, my car broke down again.
And even though Silvia Poggioli says, porca miseria, chi sono questi cafoni, when she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Not at all.
Not really. I didn't think so.
I honestly don't have the vaguest idea.
And it was you, I believe, who said, good puzzler.
Did I?
I think so.
Well, that's good.
Here it is.
Go ahead. It'll come to you.
As soon as I say the first three words, you're going to say, ah, I remember it. A mother has two kids, and the older one is a boy.
I still don't remember.
The chances that the younger
kid. Oh, that one. Yeah, I get it
the
now.
The chances that the younger kid is a boy are 50-50, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
Sure.
And almost anyone could have gotten that just by what? Guesswork.
Well, most people think that the chances of everything
is 50-50, especially when there are boys and girls involved.
Yeah.
Now, here's the puzzler. Suppose a mother has two kids, and not the older one, but just one of them is a boy. What are the chances that the other one is also a boy? Now, if you draw little pictures, there are four possible scenarios.
Yeah.
Older boy, younger boy. We'll call that B and B. Older boy, younger girl.
Mm-hmm.
Older girl, younger boy. And
yeah.
Older girl, younger girl. That's it. If you're going to have two kids, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, in the first case.
Of course.
When I say the older one is a boy,
mm-hmm.
then it immediately leaves out the last two
exactly.
possibilities.
That's right.
Okay? It can only be boy, boy, or boy, girl.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and so
left.
In order for it to be the other one to be a boy, it's a 50-50 chance.
Right. So you're going to have boy, 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 girl.
Right.
Or.
Now.
Yeah.
When I say that one of them is a boy.
Yeah.
I believe it or not, it is as counterintuitive.
It certainly is.
It becomes harder for the other one to become a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances are 1 in 3, because if you look at the scenarios, you have boy, 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 girl, and girl, boy.
Sure.
Right? If for the other one to be a boy, it's got to be choice number one, which is boy, boy, because you already said that one of them is a boy. How can the other one be a boy? It's 1 chance in 3. Hard to believe, isn't it?
It's hard to believe.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Well, it's...
But it is true.
It is true.
And evidently, Marilyn has a lot of data. And the way she... I remember this puzzle now. You said you stole it from Marilyn.
Well, I didn't really steal it from Marilyn. I stole it from Stephen Miller.
Yeah, but don't forget, Marilyn stole it from somebody else, so it's fair game.
Oh.
But the way that she proved it, she said, here's how I'm going to prove it. And she asked people to send her letters.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anyone who had 2 kids, and the first one was a boy... How many had the second one a boy? And 2 kids who, one of whom was a boy, how many had the second
right.
one as
and
a boy? And it came
she
out.
She proved it empirically.
Exactly, which I guess is okay. But I like the more elegant, abstract, mathematical solutions myself. I mean, but that's the kind of guy I am. I'm an abstract kind of guy.
Yeah, you're abstract. All right. Do we have a winner this week?
I don't remember. Yes, we do. The winner is David Ward from Atlanta, Georgia. Ah, it's good to be down among the magnolias.
Oh, don't start.
And for having your correct answer chosen, David, from among the thousands of answers that we got this week, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With this $25 gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD, Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford, All Calls About Couples and Cars. This CD, by the way, David Ward from Atlanta, Georgia, is a big hit with marriage counselors. It has generated more business for them than anything else ever came along the pike.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of today's show. So don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls, of course, at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Casey in Kingston, Washington.
Casey with a C, right? Regular spelling?
Yes.
Like Casey Jones.
Yeah. Everybody wants to spell it KC, but it.
No, I don't
respond to that.
Casey's all right. Casey's fine. That's a good name.
What's up, Case?
Well, first of all, did you know that you're talking to an authentic sock dugas maker?
No kidding.
Yeah. I make weird bagpipes.
No kidding.
What, you make weird bagpipes? That's kind of a contradiction in terms. I mean,
yeah,
a bagpipe
it's redundant.
It's redundant,
it
exactly.
Is.
It's redundant.
Yes.
Yeah, bagpipe is pretty weird to begin with. In fact, just the other day, I was in Our Fair City doing some field research. I was sitting across from our office trying to find out if Doug was working.
And you had the binoculars, you were looking in the window.
I was looking into the window, and I saw him on the phone. I didn't know. I think he was talking to Sip. I don't know. She wasn't in town, so I figured he was talking on the phone to her.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, what should be right across from me is a fellow playing the bagpipes. Now, I have regard for every nationality, every culture, but, gee, that is a weird instrument, isn't it?
Sure is.
Is one of them called a bagpipe or bagpipes? Stumped you, didn't I?
I don't know.
By definition, it's pipes. I mean, it's several pipes.
There are several
but
pipes.
But you know what got me? After the fourth tune, they had to restrain me because I wanted to kill them. But the droning.
That's a normal
response. There is one note that is predominant that is all the time.
Yeah.
And here's the note.
And then everything goes from that.
Go ahead. Hum a tune. That sounds like Ravi Shankar.
But anyway,
Casey, you are an authentic bagpipe maker.
Yes.
You are.
Well, what's weird about the ones that you make? And what's it got to do with cars?
Nothing.
What's the name of this show?
Nothing, really.
Oh, nothing. Oh, yeah. It's just Lavoisier. The link is Lavoisier.
Yeah, the link is Lavoisier.
So you use that as an excuse to call us. You had no automotive
exactly.
question.
Well, that's one excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other excuse is my Honda.
Oh, okay.
And the problem is that I got a bunch of snakes living in them.
Oh, no.
No, not real snakes.
Yeah, live snakes.
I hate snakes. I mean, just like, who was it? Harrison Ford.
Yeah, and all those
Indiana
movies.
Jones.
Yeah.
I hate snakes.
Well, you know what it is? And I realize it's fear of the unknown. I mean, you don't You know, do you know any snakes?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
I didn't know you knew any lawyers. But so how did these snakes get into your car, and what kind of snakes are they?
You know, it all started with our garden. With our, we started a new garden last year, and we stripped the sod and piled it off to the side and covered it with black plastic, and then we were amazed that we didn't have any slugs in our garden. You know, this is Washington State. You know,
where it rains all the time.
And, you know, one day we pulled back the black plastic, and it was like a set from a Harrison Ford movie.
Oh, no, this is just...
tons of garter snakes. And so a friend of mine called me up and said that she needed some snakes for her garden, so I grabbed a couple handfuls and stuck them in a couple paper bags and stuck them in the back of the car, and...
they got out.
You know, some of those guys apparently got out because the next morning my wife and I were driving back from the beach.
Oh, and one fell on your leg while you were driving one of the dash.
She was putting on one of her sandals and noticed that one of the straps was moving. And since then, she won't drive in the car at all, you know, and she won't ride with me in the car.
I don't blame her.
Imagine one
situation.
Imagine this now. One is in the springing and webbing of the driver's seat.
Yeah, right? There's one there.
Underneath there, coiled up with the springs, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
I don't like this at all.
I don't like this at all.
Well, did you call us just to disgust us, Casey? Are you looking for advice?
Well, just curiosity. I saw one real fat one go up behind the dashboard.
Yeah, that's probably where they all are.
And I think so. And I haven't seen any in the last few days.
Wait a minute now. You make bagpipes.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Can you do the full lotus?
Yeah.
Sit in a full lotus position in the back seat and take out your bagpipes and just start playing. I can
Good.
See it
do
now.
Do the drone note. Yet?
Just play this over and over and over in your car, and they will just emerge from all those little hiding places and then start walking. Walk right back to the garden, and they'll slither along right behind you.
How about if I play Car Talk over and over?
That'll do it.
That'll drive anybody out.
Hey, good luck, Case.
Good luck, Case. I don't want to just talk about this
anymore.
You
definitely have the most unique problem ever.
Okay.
On our show. We have no solution to it, obviously, but...
Nor do I want to. I know what my. If it was my car, I would send it to the crusher. Even if it were a 65.
You know, there were snakes in your car. You
snakes,
don't.
Mike.
I never told you, but there were snakes in your car, and that's why I sent it to the crusher.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, wow.
I'll see you, Case.
Thanks
for your call, and good luck, and don't drive anymore. Just stay home. They'll eventually get hungry and leave.
Okay.
See you later.
What? Get hungry? They'll eat him.
No.
I hate snakes.
No, these are harmless little snakes.
Who cares?
Oh, come on. Don't be a crybaby. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ellen from New York City.
Ellen.
Yes.
What's
How
up?
How are you guys?
Does New York City actually mean like Manhattan?
Manhattan, Greenwich Village.
No kidding. Isn't that? I didn't know that people actually live there.
So what's up, Ellen?
Well, this is my problem. I am getting married in 2 months. That's not the problem.
It may be, but...
Well, the problem is that, okay, and we have we bought a 94 Chevrolet Blazer full size.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend, soon-to-be husband, keeps on adding these high-performance computer chips and power pulleys and things that are supposed to make the car perform better.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Pardon
like
me?
Low restriction exhaust system, headers.
Exactly. Upgraded headlight bulbs.
Oh, yeah. He's probably changed the computer prom. All those. We love all that stuff.
Oh, you do?
No, we don't.
Oh, good.
When he tells you about it, does he grunt a lot? Eleanor.
Right, and he just sits around and he reads the truck magazines and then looks in the back and calls all the places in California to purchase these.
You're marrying this guy?
I'm nervous about it.
You should be. Nervous about it? You should be more than nervous about it. You should be on a plane.
Well, I think he needs to be stopped. And I was hoping that you could, do some intervention to prove to him that these things really don't help the car. Or do they? And if I do, please tell me.
Well, it isn't. That's not even the question. It doesn't matter whether they help the car or they don't help the car. What matters is that he's interested in this.
Well,
I mean, this guy has got serious problems.
Well, he's interested in cars. I mean, I could respect that you're interested in cars.
Not really.
Not.
No, we're interested in people. Cars just happen to be a vehicle.
A vehicle for talking to people. No, I mean, do you two have anything in common?
Oh, we have lots of things in common.
For like what?
Well,
Besides the obvious.
We share the same interest. We like the...
Well, no, you don't. He's interested in K5 Blazers.
And you're not.
I like the car. I love the car.
But he's interested in high performance. Has he got those big, fat wheels yet?
No, please.
Those are next.
No, he doesn't.
What do you think he is, some kind of Neanderthal?
No, he doesn't have any complexes like that.
Oh, okay.
He likes speed in his car, and I guess he thinks it's going to make the mileage improve, and I think it's made the car worse.
No, well, none of these things are designed to make the mileage improve, well, and he doesn't care about the mileage.
Some of them are.
Well, what does he care about?
He cares about...
Power.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a power game.
And that's why I ask you if you really want to marry this guy.
I do.
This guy is into power.
Okay,
power.
So give us the list. Forget about the Blazer for a second, because that'll become unimportant in a minute.
Okay.
What else do you think you have in common?
Well, what do we have in
theater.
Common?
Theater. Are you theater goers?
Yes.
Does he like the theater?
We like the theater.
Good.
We like the same movies. We like going to concerts.
Movies,
we like
concerts.
To travel.
Monster truck rallies?
No. No.
Does he have a latent desire to attend monster truck rallies?
I think he does, but I vetoed that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to be careful about vetoing stuff. You got to be careful about that stuff. You cannot change someone's basic nature.
Yeah, and that's what you called us to do. You said, can we talk him out of this?
No, you can't, the answer is no. You must accommodate and embrace the Blazer.
I love the Blazer.
No, with all of its harebrained, gas-saving, power-enhancing modifications.
Yeah.
Mm.
You started this by saying we bought a 94 Blazer, so this belongs to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he has assumed the responsibility for making it a real vehicle.
Yeah.
He's assumed the responsibility of augmenting the power, making it more fuel efficient, and spending, in the process, thousands of dollars on these accessories, which he could never get back unless he drove it to, like, the moon and back.
I mean, he could be spending that money on precious jewelry for you.
I know.
Yes.
Precious gems, as we call them.
Or lengthy vacations in warm climates.
Well, we get to do that, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you don't begrudge him the money that he spends on this vehicle yet.
Well, I want to put a stop to it, because last week I noticed that he bought two more truck magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's looking to purchase something.
Well, you have to understand right now that you are not going to talk him out of this. You like dogs, too.
Yeah, we love dogs.
Great. Oh, is that your boyfriend?
That's the reason why we bought the big truck, because we take trips with our dogs.
Yeah.
See, I mean, if this is the only thing he does that bothers you.
Right.
You should be a very satisfied woman.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you love this guy.
I love him. I do. I can't wait to get married.
Well, that's great. Well, forget about what he does to the Blazer. Let him just do it. Just say, great, hon. Another high-performance chip, eh? I think that's great, hon.
Yeah, I think you should actually encourage him a little bit more. I think you're being too negative.
Oh, okay. So the next time he spends like $70 on spark plugs, I should...
It's nothing.
You should tell him how wonderful you think he is for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank him for taking care of the vehicle that jointly belongs to you.
Okay.
That's my advice.
Well, and how special you feel.
You know, that helps. That's going to save us a lot of money on marriage counseling.
It is.
It is going to save you a lot of money on marriage counseling. I wish I had advice like this. I wish my wife had advice like this. I mean, she's constantly trying to get me to stop all my little hobbies.
Okay, I can appreciate this. This is very useful.
Hey, thanks for calling, Ellen.
Thank you. You're
a great person. I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you so much.
See you, Ellen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Tommy, I think we should take a break and meditate on all we have to be thankful for.
Yeah, you mean our health, our families, our loyal staff, the fact that we get paid for doing practically nothing.
No, for Bugsy. He just arrived with a box of crawlers.
What are we waiting for? We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
We pulled the whole thing over for the flashing red and blues. police came to the window. We said, have you heard the news?
Now don't get smart with me, boy. Why are you doing 95?
My foot is heavy with redemption. I'm just blessed to be alive. He said, I ought to pull you out of there, beat you black and blue. I placed my hand upon the good book, said, what would Jesus do?
It's better than insurance, registration, or life. It's better than these fake IDs I keep on buying. It's even better than an envelope stuffed with cash. Well, they always said it's sitting there, that old Bible on the dash.
And even though Luis Suarez bites his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss, of course, cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
Well, I got an email the other day from someone who severely castigated me for not having good puzzles every week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the essence
That's
of it was
unfair.
You know, you've only got one Puzzler a week to do. I mean, how could it be so lousy? I mean, what kind of a lazy bum could you be?
He's got a point, doesn't he?
He does.
It home, didn't it?
It did. And if you really wanted to convey that to me, Dad, you should have just called me on the phone.
Yeah.
We could have discussed.
Email was not necessary.
No, I mean.
And that phony email name you. Nah.
All right, here it is. Sometime in the late 1930s. German and perhaps other countries, aeronautical engineers were working on a device. You're paying attention? All the details are embedded. All the essential information is embedded in this Puzzler.
Yeah.
A device. And the device did the following. It took water vapor, which is one of the products of gasoline engine combustion, and would condense it into water and save it. You say, well, not such a big deal. Well, it would save it in an interesting way. It would save it in such a way that the amount of water saved would be exactly the equivalent in weight as the amount of fuel that the engine burned. So as the engine burned a pound of fuel or a kilogram of fuel.
You saved a pound
of
water.
You would save a pound of water and
right.
discard the rest. You
yeah.
got it?
That way, the plane always weighed the same.
Why would you want to do this? What would they?
I suppose one answer is, why not? Why would you want to do this?
That's the question. Now,
wow,
if you think you know the answer.
That's good.
It's somewhat historic.
It's historic, yeah.
This was inspired, by the way, by a guy named, I should give him recognition because this may be completely
oh,
bogus.
You better give him recognition.
Because
who are you going to blame next week?
In cyberspace, a guy by the name of Dale, I assume it's a guy, could be a woman.
Could be a woman.
Dale Margi sent the information from which I was able to obfuscate this puzzle. Anyway, if you think you know the answer or things are slow at work and you just feel like taking a guess, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Or you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. Now, if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How you doing?
Pretty
I'm great.
Good.
Who's this?
This is John. I'm in Saugerties, New York.
Saugerties?
Upstate.
Yeah, that's good enough.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Fine. We don't care.
I'm doing the phonetic spelling. S-O-G-G-E, Sauger, T-E-E-Z.
That's close.
Z, I like the Z. The Z is a nice touch. It gives it that Teutonic feel, you know? Yeah, so what's up, John?
I got an 86 Lincoln Town Car.
Really?
My land yacht.
Uh-huh, cool.
There used to be a very small gas smell, unburned, definitely raw gas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've replaced the tank. I've replaced the lines. I've replaced the ventilation, little gizmachi up there that holds the fumes.
The gizmachi, oh yeah. The left gizmachi or the right gizmachi?
It's on the left.
The town car has two.
No, it's only got one. Yeah. The charcoal canister gizmachi.
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I open the front windows, the car smells like gas.
Hmm.
And I've even parked it out in the driveway under white sheets and let it run to see if I can find a drip.
Yeah.
I cannot find any gas.
No, you won't find the drip because the gasoline evaporates so quickly.
Right.
And it doesn't take much of a leak to give you a lot of smell.
Okay.
So,
but have you replaced all this stuff just on a whim, or have you been had some professional advice about it?
I've been to about half a dozen different mechanics. I've had at least half a dozen have it up on the lift and look. And, you know, the one guy says, oh, yeah, your tank is bad. I said, well, okay, well, replace the tank.
It probably was.
And it still stinks. He says, oh, yeah, there's some, you know, another guy says there's pitted fuel lines.
Yeah.
Okay, replace the pitted fuel lines.
Very, very good.
Still stinks.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, this car is fuel injected.
Yes.
And my guess is the leak is under the hood someplace.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did anyone put the sniffer on it?
I don't know.
The sniffer is the exhaust gas analyzer.
Okay.
And exhaust gas analyzers pick up unburned hydrocarbons.
Okay.
And there's no better example in the universe of unburned hydrocarbons
than gas that's leaking on your foot.
Right. What we do when we have these problems is we run the car. And we go around with the sniffer.
Okay.
And we begin to look for places where the reading goes cuckoo.
Okay.
And it's very possible that
Which mostly happens when you're going near Pete.
Right. And we'll often find with that something you could never find with just your nose.
Okay.
So I would suggest that you go to somebody who has an emissions tester and ask him to use it to detect the leak. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the fuel lines that goes into the throttle body is leaking.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but that way you'll be able to figure out exactly where it is instead of replacing stuff at the opposite end of the car.
Right. I mean, I just assumed it was coming from the rear end from how, because you could smell it in the trunk, too.
Well, they can sniff under the car, too. We put cars on the lift, and our, you know, we go around, the sniffer's got a big, long hose on it, and it takes a while for it to register. You can't just sniff it for 4 seconds and move to the next spot, because when you move to the next spot,
you might be picking up the reading from the previous spot.
Exactly.
And the sniffer will tell you exactly where it is, and you won't have to spend any more money.
So I don't have to throw the car out?
No, are you kidding?
Good luck, John.
All right, thank you.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, your sleek black beauty used to smell.
No.
Yeah, well, until we got the snakes in it. And then they ate all the other creatures that were in there, and the smells went away. But
what
until,
a car that was.
But there were snakes in that car. I remember now.
I'll just tell a little anecdote.
I know you hate snakes.
Let me just tell a little
anecdote. You're afraid of snakes.
I'll tell a little anecdote about that car.
Go ahead.
The engine in that car was so perfectly tuned.
And balanced.
And balanced. It
yes.
ran so smoothly.
I'm going to give you $20 if you can tell me what the displacement of that engine was, what size that engine was.
That engine was a 343.
Wrong.
Absolutely right.
It was a 326.
326. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
it all
comes
back.
You know, I remember because when they were crushing it, the hood popped open. You could see the air cleaner. And it said 326.
Well, one day there was someone in the shop whose car broke down, and he needed a jump start. And rather than pull out,
you almost made a Freudian slip. You almost had a junk start.
And rather than pull out the charger, my car happened to be in there for minor repairs, and I started it up and I hooked up the jumper cables and I got his car running, and forgot that my car was running. I took off the jumper cables and I went about my business. That car sat there all day while tens of thousands of people walked around the shop. The engine was running and no one noticed until it ran out of gas.
It's like a tree falling in the forest.
It was so smooth and so quiet. What a car.
Jeez.
I'll never forgive you for this.
Boy.
You're dead meat.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Danielle Marks, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Danielle.
Louisville.
Yeah.
Home of the Slugger.
Yes.
They still make bats? They must still make bats there, right?
Yes, of course. We have a big museum for it.
Just a museum or a factory?
It's a factory, but in the factory there's a museum.
Oh, I was just checking. I figured maybe they're making them in Shanghai now. Anyway, what's up? What's going on?
Okay, well, I have a 93 Toyota Corolla, and my brakes are doing some funny things. Whenever I'm on the expressway, usually on the expressway because I have to be going pretty fast,
yeah.
And if I get off or if I slow down really fast for traffic, my brake pedal, like, pulsates,
mm-hmm.
and it shakes, and
mm-hmm.
if I slow down too fast, my whole front of the car starts to shake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a very common problem.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh, what is it? Well,
it's the brakes.
Yes. Okay.
No, your brake rotors, the discs are warped.
Okay.
And they probably have to be replaced.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you can take it into any shop, and they could just jack it up, and they'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be obvious. They'll put a dial indicator on the brake caliper, and they'll see as the high spot on the rotor comes around, they'll see that dial indicator jump. And that's what you're feeling in the car. When you step on the brake, that high spot that's coming around and pushing back on the pads is sending pressure back right to your foot.
Right
to your foot, and you'll feel your foot.
Yes.
Yeah, and if it gets real bad, you can lose teeth over this.
I know.
When you brake, I would slacken the lower jaw.
Yeah.
You know, because if you keep the teeth away from one another, the chances of losing one are considerably diminished.
Good. So brakes and not the dentist.
Exactly. So keep that jaw loose and get it in and get it looked at.
It's not a terribly serious thing, but it's got to be done.
Okay. So, I mean, I could wait.
Well, caveat.
You're losing braking power. If you had to come to a really serious stop, you might not make it as fast as you could have.
Right. Okay. Because the pads aren't maintaining full contact with the rotors. If, in fact, you had to make a panic stop and 20 feet made a difference, this
car
might fail you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't tailgate any pig trucks.
Okay.
See it, Danielle. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ron Hatch from La Mesa.
La Mesa, which we know means the table.
The table.
The table, right.
Yeah, what's Durango
mean? Did you say Ron Hedge?
Yes, I did.
A classmate of mine, Ron Hedge?
A classmate, a veritable classmate.
Holy cow.
No kidding.
That's
and you're
right.
Still alive? Hey, Steve Corman emailed me just yesterday.
No.
And we're trying to plan a reunion of the 515 Club.
Oh, my God. That could be a disaster.
when Ron Hatch
right.
and I were at the Toot, as we call it, the
right.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology, we were part of a sort of, I hate to use the word elite, it was sort of like the dregs of the Institute, the ones who couldn't afford to live on campus.
That's right.
And we commuted.
And they
but
stuck you
had,
in a basement,
they
a
stuck
dark
the,
basement.
The bowels basement. Of Walker Memorial.
Oh, jeez.
You remember it well, don't
Do
you?
I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the education, though, Tom.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. But
and so we were all members of this so-called 515 Club because we were supposed to be catching the 515
right.
train
which
to go
home.
Which
we never did because we were playing bridge and
drinking
and sleeping on the sofas.
Right. Hey, Ron, it's a pleasure to hear from you.
Boy, I tell you, I've been listening to you guys, and when I first heard your show, you know, I heard you laughing, and I said, God, that sounds an awful lot like Tom Maglione. I said, you know, it's amazing what a degree from MIT and a PhD will do for you. I mean, you really sunk down a long way.
Hey, so
well, it's great. It's nice. The small talk is nice. Let's get on to the important stuff.
All right.
You have a question or not? If not, get off.
All right, I do.
Younger punk?
That was the alleged reason. No, but actually, yeah. I do have a question.
Yeah?
I have a 1989 probe. It's got about 150,000 miles on it,
mm-hmm.
of which the last 75,000 have had a check engine light on. So, I mean, being the kind of a techno elitist that I am, I couldn't stand to pay somebody $60 to put a voltmeter on it and tell me that it needed an oxygen defibrillator or whatever. So, I mean, here I am. I keep asking around. I figured someone will put a voltmeter on it and tell me, but no, it's all this big secrecy thing of, you know, oh,
yeah,
we have to figure it out, and it has to go to the dealer and stuff. And so,
well, you've proven that it can't have been that important.
Right, 50,000 miles later.
Where is La Mesa? In what state?
Actually, it's in just outside of San Diego.
Oh, La Mesa, California.
Yeah.
Now, when you go for your biennial smog test,
right.
Do you pass?
Yes.
Do you bribe? No, huh?
I guess he does. Well, if you pass, that's good. It means it's even less important than we thought. 75,000. I mean, right. It may just have been. I wonder what the probe.
Well, you may have a sensor that's slightly out of spec, and you may need an oxygen sensor. And the only way to really know, there are two ways you can know. You could test the oxygen sensor separately, and if you had a digital voltmeter, you could read the signal that it puts out.
Of course he's got a digital voltmeter.
Right.
Oh, yes, of course. I have one in every room.
But you'd need to know the spec. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And you need to find out if it's putting out the right amount of juice.
Okay.
And if it isn't, then you could replace it.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, if it hasn't destroyed the engine in 75,000 miles,
right.
If you send us $20, Ron, we will send you the Car Talk official black tape, which fits perfectly over that check engine light. It will
right
never bother you again.
I think that's a great solution.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, let us know what melts.
Okay.
Hey, and email me, will you?
I will.
Cool.
See ya.
Thanks for having the great show, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye, Ronnie.
Really talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jeez, another one of your...
Another self-unemployed...
Another classmate of yours that survived.
It can only be you know when you go to the reunion and they only have, like, one table?
Yeah.
For the class of your class? That's it. One
you guys,
table. Six guys.
Badly represented. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his picture-perfect performance at the Pocatello Pulled Pork and Polka Promenade, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. And our air traffic controller is Yolanda Ulucky. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our New York-based dispute settlement coordinator is You Talking to Me. Our meteorologist...
You talking to me?
Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shookup. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the Cambridge Police Department Special Bongo Noise Abatement Unit in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1426, discover classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, ever wonder what's going to break next on your particular car?
Yeah, everything.
Well, your car, yeah. But for everyone else, we now have enough data to predict what's likely to go wrong and at what mileage you need to start worrying about it.
Really?
Yeah, you can now see the most frequent complaints for your particular year, make, and model and get a jump on worrying. Check out our brand new car complaints database all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though road paving crews throw their radios under the grader whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.